Street, you know, when I'm acting like that, and my kids do, and the people in AA do. But thank God for that, all right? I blew up a few times, I had a few people mad at me, and But I began to realize what was going on. My attitude was bad because I was in a depression, and this medication was putting me in a depression. But with the help of some other AAs and myself, we figured out what the problem was. All right, and I got an appointment with a doctor. He took me off 2/3 of my medication, and I feel great. You know. I felt better than I did before I had the heart incident. So the medication is working. I just didn't need so damn much of it, you know. I'm not criticizing the doctor or the medication or nothing. It's just my personal makeup, and that medication didn't get along too well. All right. And so those kind of things will happen to you. And I can remember in early sobriety, you know, when they talk about character defects, I wasn't sure what they were talking about, because when I came here, I knew for years I drank too much. And I knew for years that I was considered an alcoholic. I didn't know what an alcoholic was, but I was considered an alcoholic. I knew that. And I knew I drank too much, and I quit. And I quit many, many times. And I quit forever for the rest of my life. And every time I quit drinking, things would get better. My health would get a little better. I would get a little money in my pocket, so consequently my wife and kids were feeling better. It grows. But then I would find some lame-brain excuse to take a drink, like I was thirsty. You know, a lot of you get upset when I tell you walk slow and drink a lot of water. That's very important to me, because old Dick Scrivens, I worked with him for a long time, and he had a lot of years in the program, and that's what he used to tell me all the time. Walk slow and drink a lot of water. And it took me a while to figure out what that was. He had to hit me on the head with a hammer 3 or 4 times before it finally connected. Walk slow, don't get excited. Just take it as it comes. Take it easy. And drink a lot of water, and I wouldn't get thirsty. See, so I've been doing that for quite a while now. I don't get thirsty. And I try today not to let my character defects, which I found out when I took that 4-step, find out what my character defects were. I didn't know I had any. I thought I drank too much, and once in a while I lied. And I thought that was my problem. And, you know, now that I would join AA, I'd quit drinking and I wouldn't lie anymore. Boy, was that a joke. I quit drinking. I haven't had a drink since I went to the hospital. But when it comes to lying, I can still lie just as good today as I could back when I was drinking. And usually to myself. You know, usually I'm not being honest with myself. It's not hard for me to be honest with you. All right? Not hard for me to be honest with my family. But I lie to myself all the time. When last summer, when I was going through that deal with the medication, I'm telling myself, you know, Christ, I'm getting old, and I can't do the work I used to do. And that's why I'm dizzy all the time, and I was mad at being dizzy, and I was, you know, lying to myself about what the problem was. And once I got that figured out and quit lying about that problem, I could solve the problem. But see, as long as I'm lying about the problem, I can't solve the problem. I have to continue to watch myself for selfishness. It tells us in a big book, self will run riot, and that was me to the extreme. You know, everything was about me, and that's the way I was. And dishonest, I told you I was dishonest, and I really was. And resentments, I had a lot of resentments. When I came here, I had everybody, you know, my dad's really a nice guy. Probably couldn't find a nicer guy in this world. But I resented him. It was his fault I drank so damn much. He gave me too much when I was a kid. He spoiled me. And then he didn't give me anything when I got older. And then he disowned me because I was a drunk and stealing everything from him. And, you know, just a merry-go-round. So it was all his fault. Or my mother's. Or my wife's. We had too many kids too soon in life. I got married too young. I didn't graduate from art school. I didn't get the job I wanted. You know, if you had the business I had, I was in a septic tank business. I might not know much, but I know shit, I'll tell you that. But I didn't, you know, everything was against me. And I had all kinds of resentments. And what it turns out to be when I took that fifth step was all those resentments are based on fear. I don't know how many of you have taken that fourth and fifth step and sit down with your sponsor and talk over your character defects. But mine, I don't know about you, but I know about me. My character defects are based on fear. All right, I lied because I didn't. I was afraid of whatever was the truth was. It wasn't good enough. You know, I wasn't smart enough or whatever it was. And so I would lie to cover up whatever my inadequacies were, all right? And I was sure that my dishonesty was going to cause me to go to jail or you wouldn't like me or I was going to lose a job or whatever it was. But it was based on fear. See, all these things, and all these character defects I had were based on fear. And as I went through them fears, you know, my life began to fall apart. And I didn't know what to do, that fifth step. But then they give me that six and seven and eight and nine, and by the time I got done and started on step nine, those promises that are in the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous began to come true in my life. I began to have a spiritual experience. Now, it may be just an awakening at that time, but I begin to understand a little bit more about spirituality. And I think I said before in here, when I really got to looking, trying to improve my spirituality, I bought a book by Catherine Marshall. Her husband was a world famous evangelist, and he talked, or she talked about when her her husband were traveling around the world, the most famous or most spiritual people they ever run into were the people in Alcoholics Anonymous. And I said, well, you dummy, here you are. Just like everything else I did in my life, I'm looking for something else, something better. You know, I'm searching out all these religions and searching out all this stuff, trying to find out spirituality. And here I got it in this big blue book right here. This one happens to be gray, but that's because I got a cover on it. But that blue book gave me the spirituality and the spiritual look at life that I never had looked at before. I was brought up in the Missouri Synod Lutheran Church, and I was scared to death of God. He was a punishing God, and then by the time I got here, there was none of them Ten Commandments He laid out that I hadn't broken. So I knew I was going to hell. All right. And now I've been sober for a while. And now they tell me that 10th step, continue to take a personal inventory when you're wrong, promptly admitted it. It's so hard to take a personal inventory all by myself at night, locked up in my bed with the covers up over my head. All right. But to tell my sponsor or somebody else, to let somebody else know what my character defects were that day, all right, or even just to talk them over with God sometimes was darn tough, because I wasn't sure where to draw the line and what line to draw. And see, that like I said, there's no place in the book tells me to stop taking that personal inventory. So I continue to take a personal inventory on a daily basis. Sometimes in the morning, I think over what I did last night or yesterday. Sometimes at night, I think about it before I go to bed. You know, and once in a while, when I go to bed, this summer I had about 2 weeks where I couldn't sleep. because what I was doing with my mouth and my attitude, excuse me, with other people for that 2 weeks when that medication was bothering me. I knew it was wrong, but I couldn't stop it, you know. And I would go to bed at night and take my inventory and geez, I just beating myself up. I know I'm not supposed to be acting like this. I can't. It's just not changing, you know. But see, one thing I didn't do was ask God to help me. See, I just was going to do it myself, just like back in the old days when I was drinking. I'm going to quit drinking forever for the rest of my life. I'm never going to drink again. And I would quit drinking, and I would quit drinking for a week or 2 weeks or 6 weeks or whatever it was. And then I would have a drink for whatever excuse. And once I took a drink, Katie barred the door because I couldn't stop. It didn't matter. I might get away with a drink today and a drink tomorrow, but by the next day I was buying a couple cases and on my way, you know. And so it became very evident to me this summer that the reason I wasn't getting rid of this resentment was because I wasn't praying about it. I wasn't asking God for help. And so when I asked God for help, same as taking my inventory. When I took that sixth and seventh step, asked God to remove these shortcomings from me, I had to do that again this summer. So not only do I take that fourth step over again, that inventory, but see, I continue to take 5, 6, 7, 8, and 9 right along with it. Because if I'm not going to do the whole works, I'm just fooling myself. And that's the way it works for me. I don't know about you. I don't know if you have any questions. If you got any questions, go ahead and ask me.
Got me up for her.
Yeah.
I can talk about that.
No,
yeah, you can.
We have to do it through that, so we can record it.
I'll do it on cold.
That's my first thing.
I don't know if this sounds crazy to you, but part of my personal inventory is not how I act, but how I look lately. And my grandson said to me a couple months ago, "Grandma, is that your mad face?" Because I was concentrating, and I wear that look on my face, and I've really been trying to concentrating on not having that mad face. Is my body language saying something different than my mouth is saying? That's part of my inventory today. And so I try to put a smile. When you put a smile on your face, you not only feel better, but you make everybody else feel better. And that's part of my inventory, not just the defects of character, but am I conveying that I'm a sober, happy alcoholic, or am I a mad alcoholic? And to me, I think that's kind of important, and that's kind of what I got. I don't know if that appeals to you or if you understand that, but that's what I took from this tonight.
Well,
so, thank you.
That's probably a choice you want to talk to your sponsor about, whether you're a mad alcoholic or just mad. See, when I came in here, I didn't smile. Alright. You know, me and Joe Green was about the same time I was coming into AA, and I liked that name. They used to call me Mean Green, and I liked that. Alright. Because I didn't like people, and I didn't want to be happy-go-lucky. Alright. I was mean, and I liked to fight, and that's the way I wanted to live. And if I was mean enough and looked bad enough, people stayed away from me. And I liked that. And I came in Alcoholics Anonymous, and there were several guys used to get me on to me about that one day. And one night I'm sitting in Dobbs' group. Old Charlie Reynolds, some of you will remember Charlie Reynolds. Well, he'd been riding me for weeks, but not smiling, right? And I'm sitting there, and I don't know why, but for some reason I was smiling. I don't remember why today, but old Charlie just flop down on the floor and having the big one. I'm having a big one. Everybody comes running. What's the matter, Charlie? Buzz is smiling. So I was told that I should smile more often. But it does help. Go ahead, Dave.
Thank you, Buzz. Anyone else? Let me chime in quickly. I've been asked to remind the group that comments are welcome in the form of questions, if you can make sense out of that. So, who's next?
Jerry's got one.
Say hello to Marcia.
Huh?
Oh. I'm saying hi, Marcia.
Oh, that wasn't a question, was it?
Hi, Marcia.
Hi, Buzz. Diane Washi here. You know, with the step 10, when I take my inventory and find that I have done wrong and I deal with it right away, did you feel that that period of time when the medication made you cranky and got a lot of people angry with you, that you felt that you needed to go back and make amends to those individuals?
Oh, yes, definitely. I definitely did. Two of them ain't accepting them. Tough shit. One, I used the F-bomb a few times explaining to him what I thought of him, and he didn't like that, and he went called his mommy, right? But a day later, I went and I said, you know, I really want to apologize for the way I talked. I shouldn't have talked like that. And I really meant it. You know, it was not necessary to use that kind of language. And he stuck out his hand, and I said, oh, wait a minute. Apologize for the way I acted and what I said. I still don't like you, so just stay away. You know? And that, I talked that over with my sponsor. That's fine. I don't have to love everybody. All right. I love them in the point that if they need help in Alcoholics Anonymous, I'll help them any way I can. All right. But I don't need to be buddy-buddy with them, and I don't need to run around with everybody in Alcoholics Anonymous. All right. In fact, my first sponsor told me I wasn't allowed to love all the girls that were in AA. Next. I better shut up before I get in trouble.
Thank you, Diane. Thanks, Buzz.
Behind you, Dave.
Hi, Buzz. I'm Bridget. I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Bridget.
Since I've been in the rooms, the 10th step I have found prevents me when I think about, ooh, I have to make an amend if I do that. It's has stopped me from doing or saying some things, and I wondered if you had that experience too, that knowing that if we're going to do the program the way it is suggested, that perhaps keeping my mouth shut or keeping your mouth shut, it's better to be happy than be right, because I always had to be right. And I wondered if you've had that experience also, that it would just keep you from maybe doing something that, or saying something that you might like to.
Making amends would keep me from, if I knew I had to make amends, oh yeah, a lot of times. And rather than open my mouth, but see, someplace in the big book it says we pause, and it says that several times in the big book, we pause and think before we open our mouth, and I have a hard time doing that. I spit out what I'm thinking, whether I'm really thinking it or it's just an expression, you know. And I spit it out in a hurry. If I hit my hand with a hammer or hit my head on the ceiling or something, words come out of my mouth that I don't stop to think about. And lately it's been getting better. When I spend a lot of time going out to the prison, carrying a message out there, it was very hard to get better at that because that's the way they all talked, and I was there for a long time, for 3 days a week. And so being in that environment for 3 days a week, it's just, you do it, you know. And that's my old character, was to talk like that. And so it's a problem for me to this day to hold back what I think and not say what I'm really thinking, you know. But it's a good advice if you can do that.
Thank you, Buzz. Thanks, Bridget. Any other takers? Come on, I'm seeing some reflective looks. Yeah, you.
Hi, my name is Kenny. I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Kenny.
But I had this great sponsor for 14 years named Jim Sullivan down in Florida, and he died. And the last thing we were working on was the 10th step. So I continued to work on it, you know. But what I found was that I had to get myself out of there a little bit. That I had to trust that the higher power, the 7th step says, humbly ask him to remove my shortcomings. If you read the big book, it says, well, that's exactly the purpose of this book, is to help you find a power greater than yourself, which will solve your problem. It doesn't say help you solve your problem. It says which will solve. So what I've been doing, what I've had to do lately to work on my character defects is trust God more and say, you, I just say the 7th step, would you, I'm humbly asking you, would you please remove my shortcomings? But I had to get myself out of there and trust that God could do it.
You're right, 100%. Like I said earlier, as long as I tried to straighten myself out, tried to figure out what was wrong with me last summer, it didn't work. It just got worse. All right. When I finally asked God for help, then within a day or two, the medication was gone and my attitude changed and my wife was smiling again and, you know, life was better. But I had to ask him. I firmly believe God does a lot for us whether we ask him or not. But I think, in my case anyhow, my shortcomings that I'm aware of, if I don't ask him, he don't take them away. He lets me have them. As long as I want to play with them, he'll let me have them. I have to ask him. I have to get down on my knees and ask God. And for me, at my age now, to get down on my knees, that's a good thing, because it takes me another hour to get back up again, you know.
Thank you, Buzz. Thanks, Kenny. Is that it, folks? Well, Buzz, thank you so very much. Do we have any announcements from the membership?
Saturday night, we got four groups, and we don't have to leave.
Is that right?
Saturday, what time is that again?
Where is that meeting held?
Okay, good. Thank you.
Tomorrow will be here.